children can proceed for their classes this morning. We are very happy to have back with us Pastor Sim Kee Tee. He worships in Bethesda Pasir Ris Missions Church. He is involved very much with our Daily Bread ministry in writing publications for our daily journey, discovery series, Bible study guides, and insights for scripture edition of our Daily Bread. He is married with three children. I'll hand this time to Pastor.
Morning. Normally, the last quarter of the year is a time for me to go to teach the Bible in the region. I was praying and hoping that I could enter into China. Before COVID, I was actually going into China to teach in the churches as well, in the Bible schools there. But because of COVID and because of the recent clampdown, things are not the way it is. Pray with me. We are hoping that next year we will be allowed to enter and teach in the churches in China, in the Bible schools in China as well. Now, for the past six occasions, if you're the last six times that I was here, as I speak from this pulpit, I have taken you on a study of the book of Proverbs. And we study the book of Proverbs topically. We take a topic and then we look at what Proverbs have to say about that topic. And a quick recap, we have been looking at a few main key topics that is dealt with in the book of Proverbs. And early this year, we look at our lives, relationship, we look at our work, and then we look at the women in our lives, you know, the wayward woman and the wonderful wife that you are or you have. Now, Pastor John has come in to teach this morning and next Sunday, and I decided to continue this series from Proverbs, and we'll be looking at who is the wise man and what God hates. This morning, we explore the topic of wisdom. Now, in ancient Jewish thinking, three virtues are highly valued: justice, kindness, and wisdom. Wisdom is also the main theme of Proverbs. In fact, it is the key theme, the major chunk of scriptures in Proverbs deals with this topic of wisdom, or who is the wise person, as opposed to who is the fool or who is the foolish person. Now, the first nine chapters of Proverbs deal substantially with this topic, and there are another 35 other verses scattered through. Oh, sorry. I think I've run. Oh, okay. 35. Another 35 other verses scattered in the remaining chapters. We don't have the time to look at all the nine chapters and all the 35 other verses, but I've given you in the outline. If you have receive it, Bible readings for you to do this week if you want to read the book of Proverbs and what Proverbs have to say about wisdom. No need to study in depth, just read it through, and you will have a good idea of what God is saying to you regarding being wise and being a fool. But first, let's define what we are talking about, what wisdom is according to the Bible. Now, The Hebrew word translated wisdom is the Hebrew word chokmah, and that word has connotation and is used of the mental and physical skill of craftsmen. So technically, I can speak of the wisdom of a carpenter. I can speak of the wisdom of a mechanic. We don't think of a mechanic as being wise, okay? Or a carpenter who can put your furniture together and build you a chair or a cupboard as being wise. But that's what the word actually means. Okay, the carpenter is skillful in making beautiful and useful things with wood. We don't talk about the wisdom of the musicians. The musician is skillful in playing the instrument. Wisdom, therefore, is not intellect, or it is not the accumulation of knowledge. You can be a genius with a high IQ, and you have a PhD, and yet you can be the greatest fool on earth. We live in a world that is drowning in information, but is starved of wisdom, the skill of managing and navigating through those knowledge, those information. The Bible actually tells us that knowledge puffs up, making you arrogant, not wise. Knowledge is for the head, but wisdom is actually for both the head and the heart. Knowledge informs you, but wisdom transforms you. Wisdom is not the accumulation of information or knowledge. Wisdom is the skillful application of what you know. The Cambridge Dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to use your knowledge and the experience to make good decisions and good judgment. So it's not just knowing. There is this element of experience that must be factored in. Merriam-Webster says it is good sense, or if I want to say it's common sense, but common sense is actually not common, actually. Okay? If you look at the number of people being scammed every day, okay, it is, we are full of information and knowledge, and yet we have been misled. The Talmud, which is the main text of the rabbinic Judaism, teaches us that a wise person is a person who can foresee the future, meaning you can anticipate what is the outcome of the present decision that you have to make. And you know, you can see far ahead of the choices that you are making, what, where it will land you. In other words, the ability to see the consequences of your decision. That's wisdom. That's what, according to the rabbinic Judaism literature. Solomon says the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. That's what we have been talking about, giving thought to your ways. When you look forward based on what decision you are making now. In the New Living Translation, the prudent understand where they are going. Wisdom is the power to see and the propensity and the ability to choose the best and the highest goal in achieving where you are going. And that's what J.I. Packer is saying it. J.I. Packer defines it that way. The wisdom in Proverbs is to give you and I skills for living life in a way that will please and honor God. That is the direction that we are going. How do you live life? How do you make decisions that will please God, that will honor God? And you have that outcome in mind, and therefore you make decisions based on that outcome. You foresee the future. The chokmah, wise person, is a skillful, experienced, shrewd. And the word shrewd is actually used in a very negative sense today, but it's, in the Bible, it's always used in a positive sense. Shrewd and prudent, streetwise, godly person who navigate through our complicated life successfully. The wise person knows what is true and false, right and wrong, and then do the right thing. That's who the wise person is. And in the Bible, in Proverbs particularly, the wise person is actually the righteous person. And the fool is actually the wicked person. How then can we become wise? Now, when it comes to getting information, we can turn to Google, right? We all Google. Now, there's anything I want, I can Google. Or if you have Apple, you ask Siri. Hopefully, he doesn't give you a Siri answer. Or Alexia in the Amazon, those of you who are with Amazon. And today, the in topic is chat GPT AI. That can give you information. Okay, I tried at one time to ask ChatGPT to write like me. Okay, and ChatGPT works only if you have a digital footprint. If you don't have digital footprint, they don't know who you are. Okay, right, because of the mind-boggling power of ability to process information in the digital world, they can actually write like you if you have a digital footprint. So if you ask them to write John Stott. Okay, and if he has a digital footprint, he can actually, what comes out actually sounds like John Stott. So we have many avenues for information and knowledge today. But that does not make us wise. I don't think the world is any, Christians particularly, are any wiser just because we have all these AI abilities. Because when dealing with the complex issues of life, we need more than information. We need more than knowledge. Because most of the time, we go into the gray areas. And that gray areas and require you to choose between two good options or two very bad options. And everything in between. There are so many decisions we have to make on a daily basis. This morning, you have to decide what clothes you want to wear to church. Even. Okay, but these are simple decisions. But what about the major decisions in life? We not only need information, we need instruction, we need understanding, we need insight to know what we should do every moment of our life. And where can we get such wisdom? And this is where we turn to the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then we have this key item now, information and knowledge, wisdom, the skill to navigate what you have in your knowledge and instruction that you get from either God's word or from godly people. And in chapter 9, verse 10, the same emphasis again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And now Solomon focused on bringing one major factor in becoming wise, God. And we receive instruction from God, the fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Holy One, knowing God, enable you to understand. The moment you fear God, this is where you and I need to understand this. The moment you fear God, you have taken the first step to wisdom. The moment you fear God, you have taken the first step to being a wise person. As Job says in Job 28:28, the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. On the other spectrum, Psalms 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And that's where you must understand what the Bible means by being the wise person and being the fool. Okay? And the difference is not the amount of knowledge you have, but rather the knowledge of God that you have. Because the fool says there's no God. The wise says, there's a God, I fear him. That is the difference. The fool is not one who did not pass his PSLE. The person who has a PhD, as I said earlier, can actually be the fool because he doesn't believe in God. A fool is the person who lives without regard to who God is and what God has to say about life. The fool leaves God out of his life. But the wise person recognizes that there is a God, and God is alive, and God is real, and God wants to interact with you. God is aware of everything. God is actively at work. The wise person keeps God in his mind as he makes and as he navigates through life. Wisdom is a capacity of the mind that allows us to understand life from God's perspective. That's how you become wise. Understanding our life from God's perspective and to live according to God's standard. In Proverbs 14, 16, it says that the wise fear the Lord. In Proverbs 14, 16, the wise fear the Lord. The wise person recognizes God is central in our world. The wise person recognizes that God is central in your life. The wise person recognizes that he is God and we are not. He is the master. We are the servants. He is the father. We are the children. And so if you have this fear of God, you have already taken the first step to being the wise person. The fear of the Lord is the evidence of true faith. What does it mean to fear God? To fear God is to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. And Proverbs 22, 19 says the same thing. So that your trust may be in God, I teach you today, even you. And so, if you say you fear God, the flip side is you trust God. To fear God is a whole duty of man. Solomon in the other book, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says that, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God, trust God. Keep His commands. Live according to how God set life to be. So the first thing is to fear and trust God if you want to be wise. The second thing is to ask God. You see, being wise is not an automatic thing that just because you are Christian, you become wise. We must desire and pursue wisdom. Proverbs 2, 4, Solomon says, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. It is conditional. If you look for it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And the reason, one of the reasons why we all don't grow in our fear of the Lord is because we are not deliberately looking for it or pursuing it. And so there is this need for us to ask God. According to Solomon, wisdom is gained from God. He himself, you remember the story in the Bible, in the book of Kings, God asked him, what does he want? Instead of riches and wealth and power, he asked for wisdom. And that's the same pattern that is given to us all the time. What do you want in life? Do you seek success? Do you seek power? Do you seek position, wealth? Or do you say, God, I just want wisdom, like Solomon's decision? According to Solomon, wisdom is gained from God, because that is his experience, and that is also our experience. In chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It is in God's word that we get wisdom, and understanding. In other words, wisdom does not come automatically from within us. We don't have a reservoir of wisdom. We don't have. It is not something that is from inside us, because wisdom, true wisdom, is from above. It comes from our wise God as you seek Him. And this is where James chapter 1 verse 5 is very applicable for us, all of us. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God to give generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. And this is where the problem of prayer is. Okay, you have to look at your prayer and what have you been asking. We ask for success in our business. We ask for, we pray for our children, which is the right thing to do. We pray that they can pass the PSLE. Those of you who have children who are in PSLE, I'm sure today your prayer factor is higher because you're praying for your children and the right thing to do. But again, you look at the content of your prayer. What is it that you're asking for? And James is asking us to look deeper. Don't just ask for material success or good results. Don't just ask for good health. Ask for wisdom. And the promise, this is the prayer with a promise. God will give you generously. God will give it to you without fault. It is not something that God will deny you. God will not say, why do you ask for wisdom? Right? If you ask for material success, sometimes God will say, why do you want material success? Right? But in this example of asking for wisdom, God will not say, no, no, no. God will not ask you to justify because He wants you to have it. It is an answered prayer, and yet how many of us actually pray for this prayer? Fear and trust God. Ask God for wisdom. Obey God's word. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom. You see, Solomon is saying that his words and his instructions and his commands are wisdom, and applying your heart to understanding. And indeed, if you call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Obedience to the wisdom and the instruction and the insight and the understanding that God has given to you. Don't be passive, yes. Don't be passive. Seek and pursue wisdom. And wisdom is only given for those who prize it, who wants it, who desires it, and who pursues it. And when God gives us His wisdom, which is already in the Word of God, we need to learn to listen to it and follow what God is asking us to do. You need to, God's Word offers us a firm foundation, a foundation that won't let us down. You and I need to build our life strongly anchored in the rock of God's Word that never changes or never shaken. And of course, Psalm 19 speaks about the strength and the beauty and the usefulness and the benefits of anchoring in God's law. There is another fourth thing that we need to do. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. It's not just obeying God's word. Now there is an example for us to follow. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. In Matthew 12 verse 42, reading from the New Living Translation, the Queen of Sheba will also stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. You see, Jesus is pointing us to Himself. Yes, we follow the wisdom that is found in the book of Proverbs, and we follow the wisdom that is found in God's Word. But Jesus says, look, there is another model. There is another source of wisdom. Myself, I'm here. Someone greater than Solomon is here, and yet we don't listen. How many of us are following Christ? Solomon was the wisest man in the ancient world. Okay, he's the wisest man in the ancient world. And yet someone wiser has already preceded, or rather had already superseded Solomon. Jesus is now the greatest source of wisdom. Why? Why is Jesus the greatest source of wisdom? Solomon gets his wisdom from God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. That's the difference. Simon gets his wisdom from a source, which is God. But now Jesus is the source. He is God himself. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians 1:22. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, when we follow Christ, we only think in terms of following Christ in his power. We don't think of Christ following him because he is the wisdom of God. In Colossians 1:15, Paul has much to say about the wisdom of God, who is Christ. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And Paul talks about that he existed before anything else, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms. Okay? He is the head of the church. Everything was created through him and for him. And if you follow Christ, this is the wisdom of God personified in person, himself. In Colossians 2:2, Paul says, I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If Christ is wisdom himself, what does it mean for us to believe in Jesus Christ? I want us to think about our decision to believe in Jesus as the wisest decision that you ever made. Right? If he is wisdom and we believe in Jesus, then our decision must be the wisest decision you ever made. The wisest decision that you ever make is not to marry your wife. Okay? Although most of the time our wives will prove us that this is correct. Okay? But the wisest decision ever for any believer is when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. That is the wisest. And so you and I have already begun the journey of wisdom because you embrace the source of wisdom, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you will continue to be wise if you follow Jesus. You are following the light. You are following the source of wisdom. How can you ever be wrong? Finally, we talk about the blessings of wisdom. Okay. There are plenty of blessings for us who are believers in Jesus Christ. Okay? Plenty of blessings. The Bible passages from Proverbs that I've listed, I've shown earlier to you, and it's in the outline that I pass on to Pastor John. If you want the outline, please get it from him. I suggest that you read those Bible passages and then list down the blessings that you will have if you pursue wisdom. There are plenty of blessings. Even just looking at Proverbs itself, you will be blessed just by looking at the blessings of wisdom from Proverbs. But I just want to highlight for us that one blessing that we have. And this is where it is important. In Proverbs 2:5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you will know what it means to trust God and what it means to know God personally. That's wisdom. The wise person is blessed because he knows God. That's our privilege, which we don't ever think so much. And how do you know God? Through the Bible, through His Word. To know God, therefore, according to Jesus, is to have eternal life. We have now come full circle. The wise person knows God. The wise person is one who has eternal life. And now this is eternal life, that they'll know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So as we look at this passage, we ask a simple question. Are you wise? Well, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, you have already made the wisest decision you can ever make in life. But many of us stop there. And we don't begin to open the package of wisdom that is still available for us. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God. So if you are wise, you must be discovering who God is, knowing who God is on a daily basis. And if you are wise, you must be discovering who Jesus Christ is on a daily basis. To be wise, we need to be intimate with our God. We need to follow Christ closely. And we need to apply God's word in life. That's wisdom. That's who you are if you are a wise person. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the grace that you have given to us. Thank you that, Lord, you are so willing and so generous in wanting to give us wisdom. And yet, Lord, we don't ask. We pray that Lord James 1:5 would become very clear and foremost in our minds each day. Every day as we wake up from our sleep, as we go out into the world, we ask that we pray for wisdom. Wisdom to be able to navigate the challenges, the pitfalls, the dangers, as well as to appropriate the blessings of life that you have for us every day. Even as we pursue wisdom, even as we pursue and follow Jesus, we know, Father, that, Lord, we can be a wise person. In Jesus' name we pray.